Reading from Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want us to focus this morning on where our righteousness is to be found. And if that sounds like a difficult concept, and sometimes these biblical words do seem difficult to understand, can I say it's simply this, that when we leave this body and we go to judgment, how do we think we're going to heaven? When you ask someone that question, it is revealing to hear their answer. If you were to knock on the door of heaven and be asked the question, why should you come in? The answers you get are often very surprising. Even people who attend an evangelical church can say, and I've heard it said, well, my prayers, my baptism, I've been faithful in church. But that is not what the Bible speaks about. And I hope this morning we will see what it is that a man needs to have to get to heaven. The first thing we see in this passage is that the people you would have thought will be first in line to go to heaven are going to hell. Look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Isn't Israel saved because they were God's chosen people? Isn't someone saved because they've been brought up in the church, that they call themselves a Christian, that they've got their baptism certificate, that they've got their confirmation certificate? In this passage, Israel could be called the people of God chosen for a nation, the sons of Abraham. And yet they were going to hell. Those who God had chosen to live in the land of Israel for his special purposes were going to hell. It's a shocking thing, isn't it? But it is a theme of Romans. If you go back to Romans chapter 2, you will see that there is a distinction between those who call themselves Jews and those who truly are the people of God. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. For he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Everyone, I'm sure, knows what circumcision is. It is for men, and it is the cutting off of flesh around a certain part of the anatomy, which I'm not going to mention. You all know it. My reason for just emphasizing it is that it is something that is cut out, and it shows the separation between a Jew and a Gentile. And without that cutting out, you could not be part of the nation of Israel. But Paul here is saying that the true Jew didn't just have the flesh cut out, he had his heart cut out as well. Well, how can a man live if he hasn't got his heart? But of course, we know from what the Lord Jesus says that it's from the heart that comes the wickedness of man. If you'd like to turn with me to Mark chapter 7, we have the Lord's teaching on that subject. Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Do you think maybe, well, my heart isn't quite as bad as that? I haven't thought about murdering anybody. But actually, maybe that's the only one that you could say. Maybe you say, I haven't committed adultery. But can you really say that you've never had any evil thought come from your heart? Or is the truth that we know full well that evil thoughts come out of our hearts? And indeed, it is the common lot of mankind. And in James chapter 4, he asks the question, whence come wars? Well, when we see what's just happening in Turkey at the moment, it's a very relevant question. When we see what's happened in Nice, it's a very relevant question. What makes people go to war with each other? Well, he says in verse 1, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? It comes from your heart. Even when a nation goes to war with another nation, it's because of the heart of the nation, which is, of course, seen in their leaders. That's what leads to trouble. And the problem is that because people have this heart, this wicked, depraved heart, they can't, based on that heart, make themselves good. And what tends to happen is probably what I said just a few moments ago, when people say that their hearts really aren't all that bad. People gloss over what they're really like. They draw a veil over it. And it's called a veil of respectability. they become respectable. If I put clothes on, you can't see what my body looks like. If I make my appearance and my language respectable, you can't see what my heart is like. I have the ability to interpose respectability, civil talk, fine-sounding words between my heart and your assessment of me. So you can't see my heart, because my heart is covered by my charm. Maybe I don't have any charm. Some people have a lot of charm. But charm can cover what you're really like underneath. And this was the problem with the Jews. It's very important to understand what their problem was if we are to understand what our problem is. And I suggest in truth that the problem with the Jews was exactly the same problem that we all face. See, in Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus tells us what they're like. In verse 4, he said that they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. They told people that they had to do things that they didn't have to do. It says that they stole widows' houses. They must have told widows that they had to give money to the temple, even though they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford to pay their rent, so they lost their houses. Just go back there just a moment to see. It's a woeful list of things that were being done in the name of God. Verse 6. They loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. In fact, verse 5, they liked the clothes that they wore. They made broad their phylacteries and enlarged the borders of their garments. They liked to be greeted and be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Then verse 8 is a warning, and I have to say, I think it's as relevant today, even to what you call me, as it was in those days. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Please call me Brother Mark. That's all I am. I'm nothing else. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. I even catch myself. In the army, it's very clever. They hide father by calling him the Latin name Padre. It's sort of respectable to call someone Padre, but Padre means father. Call no man father. We are not to have positions. That's not to say we're not to respect each other. But you and I are no different. None of us are different as Christians. We're brothers and sisters. And what an incredible privilege that we are brothers and sisters. This group of people, we have nothing in common with each other, I suspect. We're all from different countries. We're all from different backgrounds. Yet we're all in the same room. That's a miracle, isn't it? And that miracle is because something's happened to our hearts. Something that the same thing has happened to each one of our hearts. To give us something in common. To bind us together in God. Which is something that didn't happen before. And the heart of the thing is that because our hearts have been changed. But these people hadn't changed their hearts. They were disguising their hearts with all these practices. And then we see in verse 11 and 12 the real answer. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We've heard our testimony from our brother about the difficult week he's had at work. When we have a difficult week at work, when we run into trouble with a troublesome employer, somebody who has authority over us, isn't it tempting for us to want to rise up against that person? But the Bible tells us the answer, that we should humble ourselves and wait till we are exalted. When you have trouble with somebody, do what our brother did, and I must remember to do it too. Go to the Lord. The Lord is able to change the person himself, much better than seeking to justify ourselves. Self-justification is the root of the problem of the Jewish race. They were going about seeking a righteousness of their own. They were self-righteous. And this is something that the Bible deplores. We will not get to heaven by self-righteousness. We won't go to heaven because we pray every morning, because we read our Bibles every morning, because we bring up our children well, because we give money to charity. None of those things will get us to heaven. Any of us who do those things are literally hollow. It's hollow Christianity, because it's Christianity without the heart. That's the problem. We're doing all the right things, but we'll have no joy in doing them because we're going through the motions. No. As we saw, the true person of God from the Old Testament through to the New has been the person who's had a new heart. Now, I can't pretend I fully understand how the new heart came in the Old Testament. They were not born again as we are. The first person to be born again, or to be told to be born again, was Nicodemus by the Lord Jesus himself, because the work was about to be done by the Lord Jesus on the cross. And it is because Christ was to show that he was our righteousness by dying on the cross for our sins. Our righteousness comes in Christ because none of us could keep the law ourselves. None of us could do all the things that God requires of us because we start with a fundamental disadvantage. We're like the man entering a marathon to run, to race to the finish. But the only problem is that we've got one leg tied up and we've got to hop it. We'll never get there. We'll never get to the end. We're certainly not going to get there first. See, we can never get to heaven based on our good works, because our hearts are inherently wicked. Everything we want to do well, we won't do well, because our hearts will ensure that we go off on a tangent. And so, if we're seeking a righteousness of our own, we're going to go wrong. And look at these Jews in verse 2. They had the zeal of God. We see the wickedness of the Islamists who are committing murder and rampage around the globe. Now, their imams, and I imagine their followers, have a zeal for God, don't they? They have a zeal for the Quran. The only problem is that their zeal for God is not according to knowledge, because they're using the wrong handbook. They're using the Quran and not the Bible. The Quran makes reference to the Bible. It perverts its message, and where it quotes the Bible, it often quotes it wrong. So it's not surprising that if you're using the wrong handbook, you're not going to mend the problem. The handbook that we have is the Word of God. And here we have, in black and white, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Friends, we have to submit to that righteousness. We might think that we know better, but we must submit to the righteousness of God. There is no other righteousness. And that righteousness has only been attained by the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is righteous apart from him. In verse 5, we have the contrast given between the law of Moses and the righteousness of Christ. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you want life, you'll be obedient to the law. There's only one person who's got life by being obedient to the law, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because nobody else was obedient to the law. Nobody else could obey the law. But Moses' law was right, but there's only one person who could fulfill it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But thankfully, there's another righteousness for us, other than by law. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh upon this way, wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. None of us will get to heaven. They tried it on the Tower of Babel. They tried building a tower. And that was one of my, that's to my mind, one of the big warning lights about the European Union. They built one of their parliaments in the shape after Bruegel's picture of the Tower of Babel. Sorry, I just said that as an aside, but the point is there's only one time in man's history that they've tried to build a tower to God, and it got knocked down by God in his judgment, and mankind was scattered and given languages. And who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. Thank God we don't need to do that, don't you? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, let's take this apart. It's not just about saying I believe that Jesus is Lord. It's not just about believing that he's raised him from the dead. It's realizing that he's died on my behalf. It's realizing that my righteousness is in the Lord Jesus. That I am a wicked sinner, that my heart is utterly corrupt and will take me to hell. That I need a new heart. That only the Lord Jesus can give that to me when I'm born again. That's when my heart is truly circumcised. See, I have to die in order to live. And when I become a Christian, the old man dies. And that's what baptism represents. See, baptism is only a picture of what has already happened. If it is a means of saving me, then it's no different to circumcision, which Paul has said will not save a person unless he is inwardly circumcised. Circumcision means nothing on its own. It's the inner circumcision of the heart that matters. And that's why in this church we practice believer's baptism, so no one gets confused into thinking that somehow their baptism contributes to their salvation. A person is only qualified to be baptized when they've been born again and they have a new heart. And then what baptism does is it just shows the world what's happened to them, because the world cannot see your heart. But when you go down through the waters, you're saying, my sin has been buried with Christ. That old nature has gone. When I was baptized in the South China Sea, that was my experience. I'd gone to my grave, and I came up, as it were, a new creation. That's what I was acting out. because that's what happened when I was born again. And that is the way baptism fits in to our Christian faith. Friends, where are you trusting for your righteousness? Until you come to an end of yourself and realize your heart is so wicked that only a new heart will save you. That is the point where you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we need to realize just how wicked we are. Man has that remarkable ability to look down upon himself and to see what he is. No other animal can do it, but the human being can do it. And that's why on Yam, we'll remember, we looked at Psalm 140 on Friday, didn't we? And what the point about it was that it's a rather objective statement on my heart. Psalm 140, verse 1, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Saying, really, one way in the New Testament of looking at this verse is, deliver me from myself. Deliver me from my wickedness. Preserve me from the violent man. That's my old nature. That's what I'm born with. Which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Well, we've seen that's what the Lord Jesus says. It's the lot of the human heart. Continually they gather together for war. That is the human heart, isn't it? And that's why we have the wars that we do around the world. They've sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Some people are known for their sharp tongues. And I suspect you and I have all had moments of sharpness in our tongue. Poison is under their lips. Our lips have been poisonous. We've dripped poison about people. All because of the wicked heart. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Saying, keep me from myself. Save me from myself. And that's what happens when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's the change in heart that the new birth brings. That is what enables me to believe unto righteousness. Only when I've had that new heart will faith be ignited in me. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. One reason why many nations are gathered in this building, because we are all justified by Christ. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, that whosoever applies to everybody. Whosoever in this world calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what it demonstrates again is the need for individual salvation. Whosoever is talking to each individual. Friends, it's no point saying, my husband has believed, my wife has believed, my father believed, my mother believed, or even my child has believed. None of that will help you. It's only if you make that transaction yourself. Have each of us believed on the Lord Jesus for our salvation? And if we haven't, may I invite us to do that today. To repent of our sins. To confess our wicked hearts. That they will take us to hell. To believe that the Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid for my sins. And when he rose from the grave, he justified me. And the reason why he justified me when he rose from the grave is very simple. It showed that my sins had been paid for. If he had remained in the grave, we would not have known whether or not Christ had paid for my sins, because he would have done what every other human being has done before him: died. Okay, there are two exceptions. There's Enoch in the Old Testament and Elijah. They were taken to heaven supernaturally. They would have died otherwise. But just as if we're here when the Lord Jesus returns, we'll be taken to heaven without dying. But otherwise we would have died in our bodies. That is the lot of all our bodies, friends. But if we each believe on the Lord Jesus, we will be saved. And so can I encourage each of you, whatever age you are, if you have not made that transaction with the Lord Jesus, confessed your own sinfulness, acknowledged that your sinful heart will take you to hell and not to heaven, that you need a new heart, which has been bought for you by the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for you and rising from the dead to justify you. That is the heart that will take you to heaven. Faith in his name, faith alone in the finished work of Christ, will take a soul to heaven. May the Lord Jesus grant that righteousness to you and me, if you have not already received it. Amen.
Amen.